I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I want to read, beginning with the 16th verse of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to read on into chapter 3 and verse 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning reading with verse 16 and going on into chapter 3. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course, and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, and into the patient waiting for Christ. You probably heard missionaries, I have before, I've heard missionaries speak, and they have opened up the text, perhaps even to this text here, in chapter 3 and verse 1, where it says, finally, here Paul is making an appeal to these believers at the church at Thessalonica. He says, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord might have free course and be glorified, even as it is among you. And that is needed. James O. Frazier, who is a missionary to the Lisu tribe back in the early part of the 1900s, he went there by himself. He went up in those rugged mountains of southwest China, and he preached the gospel to those people. He was from Leicester, England. He wrote his mother, and he said, mother, will you pray about, see if you can get a group of people together who will covenant together, who will pray definitely for me here in China. He said, it doesn't matter how many there are, just make sure I will faithfully send reports back. I will tell them, report to them what the Lord has been doing through their prayers. And they did that. And his mother got together a prayer group, and they prayed diligently for James O. Frazier there in southwest China. He needed their prayers. And he said this, what I prize, what I want above all else, what I need is earnest, believing prayer. And this text here, of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1 was quoted by Frazier in that letter. Brethren, pray for us. And the Lord's hand was moved through prayer. And it will be moved through prayer. It's God's method to get his work done wherever it is through the prayer of God's people. But you know what? What is so amazing about this text is the context in which it's in. The people to whom he's writing, the people to whom Paul is writing and saying, brethren, pray for us. It's amazing. The context is what makes it such an amazing request. And I want us to look at that context for a moment. All this, what I need to do is really lay down a good foundation here for what we're going to look at. We need to go back to chapter 2, and if you look at verse 2, just look down at your Bibles. What we're doing, we're going to find out what these people were going through so that Paul could go ahead and say, brethren, pray for us. He said, look at verse 2. Let's start with verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, this is chapter 2, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, is that the day of Christ is at hand. So look up here then. What was going on? There were some that Paul had taught He had taught that the Lord Jesus Christ would come back in the clouds to receive these people. Then there would be a day of the Lord. There would be what we would call the Great Tribulation. And there were some that were saying it has already started. And they were deceiving these people. They had taught the Lord is not going to rapture you before the tribulation. You're going to go through it. And so what we have here is these people are look at what is described of them in verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, be anxious, be all stirred up in your mind. That is what they had been deceived. And Paul deals with that at length in chapter 2. Verse 3 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. He goes through then, and we have what is probably one of the most in-depth dealings with the man of sin that we have here in our New Testament. And so what has happened here, these people, they're deceived, they're stirred up in their minds. This is really a very, very discouraging time for them. They had, if we could say it this way, they had really blown it. They had not listened. They had not remembered what Paul said, and they had allowed deceivers to take them the wrong way, and they were very shaken in mind. But the Lord wants to use them. And so Paul comes back at them. He says now, brethren, pray for us. Well, they were confused, they were afraid, and the remedy for the confusion and the fear is God's word. If you look at chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, we have confidence in you. See what Paul's doing? He is coming to these people. They have been deceived, they've made a mistake, they've really blown it. And Paul says, we have confidence in you, in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And when you've been disappointed, when I've been disappointed by circumstances or I have failed, what we need to do, according to chapter 3 and verse 4, we just need to keep doing right. We just need to keep doing what we know to do. And how do we know what to do? The Word of God tells us. So what we need to do is stay in the Word. I've failed. The Lord can't use me. Yes, He can. You give that to the Lord. Ask the Lord's forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we confess our sins. And keep on going. The Lord wants to use us. But there's a double jeopardy when times like this come. These people had failed, but a double jeopardy here. First, there's the experience itself that really crushes us and really weighs heavily upon us. And the second is that we become self-absorbed. I've really blown, I can't do anything. The Lord can't use me. We can hardly pray. We can hardly read our Bible. That is the double danger. And what it does, it's like a vortex, like water going down a bathtub drain, and we're just sucked in, and that is what the devil wants. He wants us to become thinking that the Lord cannot use us again. And I want to just widen this out. Perhaps it's not a doctrinal mistake that we've made. Maybe it's just the trials that we go through each day. Maybe it's the opposition that we experience at work or school because of our stand for Christ, and we become discouraged. What are we to do? We're to stay in the Word. We are to keep on doing right. And that's what I have told many folks that have come and said, Pastor Ralph, well, they said, I've failed. Well, you know what you need to do? Stay in the book. You know what you need to do? You need to keep on doing right. Get back in the Word Do what God wants you to do. Obey the Lord. Do right. The Lord will take care of it. If we would just do this, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so what Paul is doing here to these people, and the Lord, through his word this morning, is counseling us. When we go through some, perhaps it's even a tragic situation. Perhaps it is a wayward child. Perhaps it is a doctrinal deception. Perhaps it could be a mother or father taken home to be with the Lord. Or perhaps a family member dies without Christ. Whatever it is, the Lord does not want you, or he does not want me, to quit. He wants us to keep on keeping on. And there could be some situations that would keep a young man or a young woman, or perhaps even a man or a woman, and you're maybe even advanced in years, keep them from going on and forward for the Lord. Maybe the Lord would even have you go to the mission field, serve full time, but something's happened and it's paralyzed you. And the counsel here from the Lord this morning is don't quit. Keep on going. And so I want to preach from this. I just want the Lord to open up this passage for us, and I want to put it under this title, and that is continued usefulness in the midst of trial. Continued usefulness in the midst of trial. And where does this all start? How does the Lord come beside us and counsel us when we're going through the everyday trials of life, and even those weigh heavy on us? Where does the Lord start to counsel us? Look down at your Bibles at verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's where it starts. It's with Christ. Look to him. And where does it end? Look at chapter 3, verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. It begins with our Lord Jesus Christ. It ends with Christ. It's all Christ. Look to him. Don't quit. We have here continued usefulness. When I am discouraged, do we ever get discouraged in the ministry? No, I never do. Whoops, lightning strikes there on the platform. Yeah, we do get discouraged. People sometimes do not respond the way we think they ought to. You know, I can say I get discouraged when I take my eyes off the Lord, and that's where the Lord wants us to put our eyes this morning, on Christ. When we get discouraged, when there are trials, when I've failed, what we need to do is what we're counseled to do in this passage of Scripture, continued usefulness, and that is what the Lord wants. First of all, we find here in verses 16 and 17, continued usefulness is found, here it is, in continuing to appropriate, to take for ourselves, to appropriate the Lord's provisions. You see those provisions in verses 16 and 17? There are going to be three of them that the Lord has done for us in verse 17. Three provisions that the Lord has given to us in verse 16. Then in verse 17, there are two other provisions which we have the confidence that he will do for us because of what he's already done for us. And so I can have the confidence that the Lord will do this because of what he's already done. First of all, there are those things, that provision. What has God done for us that I really need? I really, in my mind, in my heart, what I need to do, I need to embrace that and say, yes, Lord, you have done that. What are they? Look down at verse 16. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're not in this alone, are we? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He's counseling all of us. This is God's word to all of us. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Don't miss these words here. He is personally involved in helping us and has helped us. What is the first provision? And God, even our Father, which hath, what does it say? He has loved us. He has loved us. And it seems to be pointing to the act which so clearly demonstrates his love for me now. He died for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who what? Who loved me and gave himself for me. Continued usefulness for the Lord is our appropriating in our mind, say, yes, Lord, you have loved us. You have loved us. Jesus died for us. Will he forsake us? Well, you've really blown it now. I cannot use you anymore. No. Paul comes and he counsels these people. He says this, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us. And he's going somewhere with this. He's going to chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, pray for us. I need your ministry of prayer. What else has he done for us? First of all, here's his provision. He's loved us. Look down at your Bibles at verse 16. And what? Hath given us everlasting consolation. Eternal, we could say eternal encouragement. Everlasting consolation. It has no beginning. It has no ending. And that word consolation there, it's a word that means to call to one side in order to comfort and encourage. Just to call to one side. He's called us near himself. And we who were separated from him because of our sin, he's called to his side. We've been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. He gives us the comfort that our guilt, just think of this. Think of this. Our guilt has been taken away in Christ. We have a right standing with him. We have daily cleansing available in the blood of Christ. And the Lord said to his disciples in John chapter 14 and verse 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Yes, you've made a mistake. Yes, there is trial. Yes, there's opposition. But do this. You do this. Continue appropriating the provisions of Christ. He's loved us. He's given us eternal encouragement, eternal consolation. Don't ever just meditate upon what he has done for us. Don't quit. Keep on going. And there is a third provision of what he has done for us in verse 16. Look down at your Bible again. What has he done? He's loved us, and he still does. He's given us everlasting consolation, but there's something else that he's given us. What is it? Good hope. Good hope. And you know that that word hope, as it is used in our Bibles, is not, you know, I hope it's not going to rain today. We don't use it that way. It's not that, you know, I hope that the car stays together for that 800-mile trip I have to take. No, that's not the kind of hope this is. When the Bible uses hope, it is confident expectation. He's given us confident expectation. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, you know, Paul says, he says this, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. All of my confident expectation is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never fail. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Keep on going. And Paul is going somewhere with this. He says, I need your prayers. The Lord wants to use you. Don't give up. This is what he's done for us. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, which confident expectation we have as anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. That is my Savior. He is my hope. He is my confident expectation. And that's what Paul says here. The Lord has given us good hope. But no, let's not pass over the last two words of verse 16 where it says, through grace. I didn't do anything to deserve it. I never can. And my performance right now will not forfeit it, nor will it gain any more. It's all because of the work and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through grace that these provisions are ours. Well, I really blew it. The Lord can't use me anymore. Well, he didn't save you on your performance. He's not going to keep you saved on your performance. Yes, we should live for him, but it's the work of Jesus Christ. It's given me a perfect standing with God. His righteousness put on my account, not because of what I have done, but because I have rested and I have put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my hope. He's loved me. He's given me everlasting consolation, good hope. It's through grace. Now look at verse 17. Here's two things he's going to keep doing for us. He's going to do in the future or even now. It says, comfort your hearts. That's the same word. Verse 17 that's used in verse 16, same word, consolation. Comfort your hearts. Out of that infinite reservoir of eternal comfort, God comforts us. Here it is. Can you picture an infinite reservoir? No. I'm finite. I can't even envision. But out of all of that, of the eternal consolation that he's given to us, here now, for right now today, for this moment where you sit, here's comfort for you. He is the God of all comfort, 2 Corinthians 1:3. His Holy Spirit is the comforter or helper who indwells us. His ministry is giving encouragement and such a great ministry of the Holy Spirit who indwells us. He lives within us to help us and comfort us. And then also, what will he do for us? He, in verse 17, it says, and establish, we could say strengthen. It means to fix in place. Establish you in every good word. And I can't think of any better word than the word of God. I believe that that's what that word there refers to. It's God's word that's going to establish me, that's going to fix me so that I'm not drifting. The Lord is going to do that through his word and make you strong through his word, make you strong in the work. What is that? That's working for the Lord. That's working for him. It's that work of the Lord in which we are to be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. So here, what are we to do? What did the Holy Spirit of God, through Paul, ministering to these people and writing to these people? They've made a doctrinal error. And the devil, the adversary, he would have them give up. But Paul comes right back and he says, listen, I know you failed. You should have listened to me. That's what Paul says. Didn't I tell you this? Why? He probably felt like I'm smacking upside the head, but what does he do? He just brings them right beside himself. Listen, God still wants you. Don't give up. We all have the flesh. You just keep on going. The Lord's done this for you. Appropriate that. Take it for yourself. Don't give up. The Lord wants to use you. And what are you to do? What am I to do? I come to this back to this passage of Scripture many times. Lord, you've done this for me. And Lord, you've promised to do this for me. Lord, I just want to keep on going for you. I'm not going to give. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to turn my back upon God's call in my life. I'm going to follow you, Lord. The Lord's counseling us. Usefulness, continued usefulness in the midst of trial, in the midst of discouragement, it comes by continuing to appropriate the Lord's provision. The Lord's not done with our hearts yet. Here's what is next. Continuing usefulness. Continue to be useful for the Lord is found in continuing, chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2, continuing to pray for the Lord's work. To pray for the Lord's work. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Paul's just gotten done dealing with them about their failure. He hasn't shoved them out the door and said, enough of you, man, you fail. I just can't depend upon you anymore. No. Paul says, listen, the Lord wants to use you. Now, having taken care of that, you know what God's done for you? He's done this for you. You appropriate that. Now, pray for me. Pray for me. Brother Paul, you want me to... I need you to pray for me. They've been shaken spiritually. Now they're asked to pray. You know what Paul is doing? What he's doing, remember we said this, there's a double jeopardy. There is that failure itself. There's that opposition itself. There's that trial itself. And then in the midst of that, we can become self-absorbed, you know, just kind of focused in on ourselves. What Paul is doing indirectly, he's getting their eyes off of themselves and saying, listen, there's something greater out here going on. There is the work of God. There is the gospel to be gotten to lost sinners. Pray, he's indirectly directing their attention away from themselves to the needs of others. They may have thought, we failed, we were deceived. Can God still use us? And Paul says, I need you to pray for us. That's great encouragement. That's good counsel. You know, when we've been depressed spiritually because of some discouraging circumstances, we need to keep walking with the Lord. We need to take the next spiritual step for the Lord. God has a job for us to do. There are other believers. Think of this. There are other believers dependent. They're dependent upon our prayers for them. So don't quit. Don't give up. That's the way the body of Christ is made. We're all dependent upon each other. Well, what are we to pray here? There are specific requests. Look down at your Bible. Pray for us. Now here's the request. That the word of the Lord may have free course. We could say it like this, that the gospel message, because that's really what's focused on, it's the word of the Lord. It is this book, but in this book, it reveals the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That the gospel, at the center of the gospel, the good news is the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we have. This book, that's what this book is. So it is, pray that the gospel message would run, it would spread rapidly. And I did say run, didn't I? Yes, that's what, that word may have free course. The word that is used there is also translated in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. I want you to see the way that it is translated here. Not only verse 24, but also in verse 26. 1 Corinthians 9:24, know ye not that they which run in a race, run all, but one receiveth the prize. There's the word, it's run. Look at verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, and so on. Paul doesn't want to be, in that passage of Scripture there, Paul, he does not want to be disqualified. He wants to keep on going for the Lord. Also in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, a great cloud of witnesses around us, before us. Run, what is it there in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1? Run with patience the race that is set before you. Same word. Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 now in verse 1. So we could say that pray that the word of the Lord may what? What word can we put there then? It may run. It's like a sprinter, someone who's running a race. He's running for all of his energy, and there is a goal. There's a goal. Pray that the word of the Lord, that the gospel might run and accomplish its goal. But notice that it is further explained here in verse 1, and that it run, here's the goal now, and that it, the word of the Lord, that the word of the Lord would be what? Glorified. And you stop right there. Well, what does he mean? What does he mean when he says, pray that the word of the Lord might have free course and be glorified? Well, the rest of the verse would help us understand that. Look down at verse 1. Even, here now, he's going to explain what he means. Even as it is with you. Well, was the word of the Lord glorified in their lives? Let's check this out. Let's go to Paul's first letter. Let's go there. His first letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 1. We're going to see if the word of the Lord was glorified. Paul preached to these people. Let's see what happens. All we have time to look at, we could look at this chapter more closely here. I want you to look. Let's just start in verse 5. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now, don't look at verse 6. And you, ye became followers of us and of the Lord. We say, so what? They were idol worshipers before. Why, it looked like there was no hope for these people. Why, they had hard hearts. You became followers of the Lord. Now, who does that work in their hearts to make them followers of the Lord? Was it Paul's words? No man has the power to speak a word and change men's lives. What does have the power? The word of God. It's lifted up. Only God could do that. Let's look. Let's keep reading here. Having received, this is verse 6, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Who could give these people joy in affliction? Why, they received the word and they were going through trial, and yet God changed their hearts. They became followers of the Lord. Look at verse 7. Not only that, they weren't just average Christians. They were normal Christians, or what? This was going to be a normal Christian here. What? You became examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Something happened in their hearts that made them shining example. This is what a believer in Christ ought to be. Well, who can do that? Programs can't do that. Nobody can do that except the Lord. Look at verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we don't even have to say anything. Why, your lives, your very demeanor, the way that you live, is preaching a message to everybody about you. Who can do that? Well, I thought they would never be saved. I thought they were too hard. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. The Lord changes lives. The word of the Lord was glorified, even as it is among you. We're not done. Look at verses 9 and 10. They themselves show of us of what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God. You turned, here it is, picture it in your mind, you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. James O. Frazier asked his mom, he said, Mom, would you please pray? Just get a group together. Get a group together that will pray for these requests that I send to you. I wish I had time to tell you of what God did in that Lisu tribe in southwest China in answer to the prayers of that little group there in England. God changes hearts. And notice verse 10, and to wait for his son from heaven. They had a different anticipation. Their anticipation wasn't next week's paycheck. It was waiting for the Lord from heaven. Lord, you're coming back. And yet they're at the same time, they're working for the Lord. They're serving the Lord. Let's go back. Let's go then to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're almost done here. Now, you pray that way. Pray that the word of the Lord will run. Okay? What's going to happen when it gets done running? You know what? The word, the Lord himself, the Lord of the word, is going to be lifted up. He's going to be made big because man could not do anything like that. Man couldn't change their hearts. Only God could. And you've had, you could stand up here this morning and you could say, yes, I know, Brother Threlfall, God saved my dad. God saved my mother. God brought back my wayward child. Only God can do those things. You know, God is all powerful. God can do anything, can he? But you know what? He, in his infinite wisdom, has determined that he's not going to do those things, but through the avenue of the prayers of his people. God wants us to pray. What are we going to do? Maybe you're going through a situation right now. You are at a cross. It really shouldn't be a crossroad. It should just be one road. Serve it. But there's a crossroad there. There's a temptation to give up. Maybe the Lord's called someone to the mission field or full-time service, and there, but right away, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a battle. And the devil is going to take something in your life, an affliction, and these things don't just happen. God sends those afflictions for a purpose. God wants that trial. He wants to mold you. He wants to make you even stronger. He might even allow you to fail. But you know why? So that you can follow him more closely and serve him more effectively. But the devil will take that and he'll say, listen, God's not going to work for you this time. He doesn't want to use you. You might as well there's a fork. The fork doesn't need to be there, but there's the devil standing there, as it were. Come this way. Just give up. No. Continued usefulness, even in the midst of trials, appropriating what? The Lord's provisions. Also, continued usefulness in the midst of trials is just continue to do what you know you ought to do. You need to pray. Pray for the Lord's work. There's a work here. Pray for it. This work needs your prayers. God needs your prayers for this work going on here. He needs your prayers for the works going on all over. We have a board over here with missionary pictures. There's the world there, a map, and God needs your prayers for that. Don't give up. What a wonderful ministry you can have through prayer. We don't have time to develop this, but you and I, number three, we need to continue. We need to continue to trust the Lord's faithfulness. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. He's faithful. You know, we can just hang our hat on that one. We can bank on that one. We can't bank on the stocks. They just keep going up and down. But we can hang our eternal destiny. I can hang my life upon that fact that God is faithful. You about ready to give up? Don't do it. I may be talking, there may just be one person in here who just feels like throwing in the towel. And what has the Lord counseled you this morning? He says, don't do it. Yes, it's hard. Look to the Lord for strength. He will strengthen. Look to the Lord for direction. He will, verse 5, he's going to direct your hearts into more love for him. He's going to do that. Look to the Lord. Look to Christ. And the Lord will use us. Just continue following him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for just coming along beside us today. And for your spirit that takes the word to the heart. And Lord, I pray that you would be glorified, that your word might run and be glorified here among us this morning by what you're doing in our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.